New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
JC, we are down to the final three games of the CFL playoffs. We got the East Final. We got the West Final. And both of these games could very well be a dandy.
Absolutely. They look like fascinating matchups. But I'm wondering, Hodge, why are you and I sitting here? Because based on the Three Down Nation picks competition, it should be Ben Grant and Joel Gasson. We're both eliminated here. So I don't know why we're sitting here making the picks.
Well, hey, I'm a little bit ahead of you. And I did go 2-0 straight up last
week.
Wow.
Ahead of me against the spread. Come on, straight up. You're near the base.
I went 2-0 straight up last week. Narrowly missed on both of those games against the spread, though the two late defensive touchdowns for Toronto were the reason that that score was so lopsided. The other one, I mean, the West game was, I thought, closer than the score indicated. Again, some late turnovers, I think, shifting that one a little bit. But regardless, we got two really good semifinal games in the CFL last weekend. I think that the finals this weekend in Montreal and Winnipeg, respectively, could be even better. And frankly, of the four teams left, I think we're going to see a great Grey Cup matchup, whether it's Toronto-Sask, Montreal-Sask, or Toronto-Winnipeg, Montreal-Winnipeg. There's going to be storylines. There's going to be big plays. There's going to be excitement. CFL fans, I think, are in for a good time. And without further ado, JC, let's get into these two games. We're going to talk about them. We're going to make our picks. Have a grand old time. The Montreal Alouettes are 2.5-point home favorites over the Toronto Argonauts in the East Final on Saturday afternoon. Montreal won the first meeting between the two teams earlier this season, but the Argonauts won the last two, the second of which saw Chad Kelly start under center. The Alouettes won the only two of their last seven regular season games, while Montreal has won 4 of 5, including last week's decisive win over the Ottawa Redblacks in the East semifinal. Star receiver Austin Mack is a game-time decision for the Alouettes, while Canadian linebacker Fraser Sopik will return for the Argos, and DeMonte Coxey is also a game-time decision after missing the East semi due to a knee injury. JC, what is your take on this one?
Look, I don't think it's going to be close. I think the Toronto Argonauts are going to roll in this game because of everything I've seen from them lately and everything I've seen from the Montreal Alouettes lately. I don't want to discredit anything that Montreal team accomplished early in the season, but this is not the same unit that they were when they were going off at the beginning of the year, right? Tyson Philpott has been hurt for a long time now. Keon Julian Grant has been hurt for a long time now. Austin Mack, we don't know if he's going to be at full strength for this game. That offense just doesn't scare me right now. And that defense, which kept them together so much last year and allowed them to win those close games, just hasn't been as good as it once was. The pass rush isn't there. Mustafa Johnson is still hurt at defensive tackle, which I think is a huge blow. And right now they're being forced to blitz in order to generate any semblance of pressure. And the last few teams they've faced have absolutely destroyed them that way. I think the Toronto Argonauts, with their big play capabilities, are perfectly set up to be able to exploit those weaknesses in the Alouettes. Chad Kelly has looked phenomenal. He looks fired up for the playoffs. He was damn near perfect last week, had a perfect passer rating. And I think with him throwing a guys like Mekhi Polk over the top, the Montreal Alouettes are going to be in for a long East Final, just like the Argos were in for a long East Final last year when these roles were reversed.
I agree with you on all of that, JC. I think Montreal's defense is still one of the league's better units, but I do think that the shine has come off them a little bit as the season has progressed. Some of that is injury related. Some of that is suspension related, of course. Sean Lemon, I think, has been a missing ingredient off the edge for them. On the other side of the ball, I just do not have a lot of faith in this Montreal Alouettes offense. Yes, Walter Fletcher has been great as a receiver out of the backfield. There's things to like about, you know, some of the big plays they've gotten from Charleston Rambo, but I think they badly missed Tyson Philpott. They haven't really replaced him. Austin Mack, when he's been healthy, has not been the same player he was in 2023 as he, you know, has been on the field in 2024. I think that this team doesn't run the ball well. And we just saw what the Toronto Argonauts did to an offense that doesn't run the ball well, but I think, frankly, is much better through the air. I think the Red Blacks have better targets than the Alouettes do. I think Drew Brown is a better passer than Cody Fajardo is. Cody Fajardo gives you a little more juice as a runner, but he hasn't thrown for over 250 yards in a game since week 12. And since then, he has had 6 touchdown passes, only 3 picks. Like, he is not pushing the ball downfield with a lot of authority. And let's not forget that the last time these two teams played in the playoffs, last year's shocking East final, the Alouettes had less than 200 yards of offense. Less than not 300. That's the benchmark for a decent game. Less than 200 yards of offense as their defense clamped down Chad Kelly for picks. Guess what? We're not going to see Chad Kelly throw 4 interceptions again. He was unbelievable. Love him or hate him, lights out in the East semifinal. 2 completions, 5 total touchdowns. When you've got more than twice as many touchdowns as incompletions, you know you've had a good game. So I don't think this game is going to be particularly close. I think these teams are closely matched on special teams, but I'd still have to give a slight edge to the Argos. Liram Hirelahu, I'm taking him over Jose Maltos, and James Letcher Jr., one of the best returners in the league, but you're not passing up on anybody for Janarian Grant, who has been, I think, the best special teams player in the league this season. I'm more than happy to take the Argos win this game, and I'm more than happy to get a couple points doing so.
Yeah, the only formula that the Alouettes have for winning this game, in my mind, is the same formula they used last year. They need to somehow force turnovers from Chad Kelly, and they need to not make any mistakes on offense. It's going to require a perfect game from Cody Fajardo and the rest of that unit, not turning the ball over, not making any major errors, in order to put them in position that if they can get that big play on defense, they can maybe squeak this one out.
I also don't think that we should discount the possibility of a shocking, game-changing gust of wind happening, because that did happen in the most recent game played at Percival Molson Stadium. But regardless, I agree with you, JC. I think the Alouettes have to play a very clean game. I think Cody Fajardo does not every single down, not every second down, whatever, but he has to show he can push the ball down the field with at least some level of consistency. He's got to hit Charleston Rambo. He's got to hit, you know, Cole Speaker. He's got to find some of these guys. Are they the most explosive group of receivers in the CFL? No, but they have all picked their moments. This is the time they've got to pick it up. And it could be off a flea flicker, right? We've seen Cody Fajardo throw touchdowns off flea flickers this year. It can be trick stuff. It could be pulling things out of the bag. This team has, of course, had an extra week to prepare for this game coming off a bye while Toronto was playing the East semifinal. So even if you have to resort to the back end of the playbook, do it. But I agree, the Alouettes here should be the underdog despite playing at home. I think the Toronto Argonauts are the best team in the CFL right now. I think they have been for the last few months. I'm happy to take them. Happy to take the points.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Moving west, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are 4.5-point home favorites over the Saskatchewan Roughriders on Saturday evening. The teams met 3 times in the regular season, with Saskatchewan winning the first matchup as Shea Patterson was at the helm. And Winnipeg swept the annual Labor Day home and home, despite losing Zach Kolaris and Chris Dreveler to injury over those two outings, respectively. Tempers will be high in this one, as Miles Brown was responsible for the hits that injured both Winnipeg quarterbacks in September, while Rider fans are still up in arms about Adam Big Hill's late-game hit on Patterson from all the way back in July. Brandon Alexander will return for the Blue Bombers at safety, while Anthony Lanier will draw back into the lineup for the Riders after being a healthy scratch last week in the West semifinal. JC, I'd love to know which team you got in this one and who you taking against the spread.
Well, I said that the East final would not be close. My opinion on the West final, completely the opposite. To me, this game is a coin flip. The margin of error between these two teams is going to be so small, and they're both playing excellent football right now. For me, I have to go with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers just because I believe they have the edge in terms of experience, and I believe playing at Princess Auto Stadium is the ultimate boost, the ultimate ace up your sleeve, because they're going to have that crowd behind them against their most hated rival for the entirety of the game. With that said, the Saskatchewan Roughriders, particularly on defense, have been exceptional at stopping what the Winnipeg Blue Bombers do best on offense. Brady Oliveira has not gone over 50 yards on the ground in any of the three games that they've played against Saskatchewan this year. I think that will be a critical factor, because Zach Collaros has just not looked like the MOP caliber quarterback this season that we are used to seeing in years past. If Saskatchewan can keep it going on defense, and then offensively, they can use that two-headed backfield of A.J. Ouellette back healthy and Reichwell Armstead to penetrate the weak spots of this Winnipeg defense and get a few less three-man rushes, bring a few more people up into the box so that Trevor Harris can pick apart this very, very good Winnipeg secondary. They're going to make a game of it. So I've got Winnipeg winning, but even with just a 4.5-point spread, I've got the Riders covering this game.
I agree with you on the spread there, JC. I think that this is going to be a field goal type game. There's lots to like about what the Riders did this past week. I do think it's worth noting the offensive line could be a bit of a question mark. Trevor Reed started all 18 regular season games for this club at left tackle. He is out. That pushes Travion Tate from right tackle to left tackle, Logan Ferland from center to right tackle, and then Peter Godber in at the center spot. And Peter Godber, longtime center in the CFL. Logan Ferland has started at right tackle in spots, but the offensive line is a unit you don't want to mess with at this time of the year. And changing three guys around is going to interrupt some of that communication. Now, I don't think that Winnipeg is going to come out of this one blitzing 5, 6, 7 guys on a regular basis. I think we're going to see a lot of what we saw from Winnipeg in the Banjo Bowl, which is rushing 3, dropping 9 guys back. In that game, Trevor Harris looked to pick at Tyrell Ford, the field side corner, and Tyrell got the better of him, twice picking him off, including a game-sealing interception. I remember talking to Ford in the locker room after that game, and he said, "I like when offenses throw at me, because that lets me decide if we win or lose, and I win a lot." That was the quote. I win a lot, and I loved it. But you mentioned the run game for Saskatchewan, which was pretty dormant all year long, has picked up as of late. That could force Winnipeg's defense to bring more guys into the box. We know from their depth chart, JC, they're not going to be heavy up front. Only 6 linemen. They are dressing 11 DBs. Saskatchewan, meanwhile, they've flipped the script. They're dressing 8 defensive linemen. They're clearly going to try to take away Brady Oliveira. And you're right. The Riders held him under 50 yards 3 times this season. The only team to do that multiple times other than Saskatchewan was Montreal. And we all know that they pasted Winnipeg in the first beating back in week 1. And were it not for that miraculous gust of wind, they probably would have beaten Winnipeg again in week 21. That is how important Brady Oliveira is to this attack. So I'm not counting the Riders out. I think the Riders could get it done. But with the home crowd that Winnipeg's going to have behind them, a sold-out crowd of 32,500 at Princess Auto Stadium, I have to go with the Bombers. Because quite frankly, Winnipeg has not played very well the last few West Finals. They've been mediocre. But that crowd, the weather, is such an advantage in Winnipeg. I think that they will get it done and become just the third franchise in modern league history to go to a fifth straight Grey Cup.
I'm glad that you mentioned that last point, Hodge, because I think it's worth diving into a little bit deeper. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers have not played well in West Finals. They haven't played well in the playoffs, even throughout this dominant streak, this somewhat of a dynasty that they've built over the last number of years. Particularly Zach Collaros has struggled in these games as well, but they've found ways to win more often than they've lost. So there's two sides of the coin. You can look at that those performances and you can say, well, that makes me more likely to pick Saskatchewan to pull the upset because they've looked really good and Winnipeg has been vulnerable. Or you can say this is a veteran team that has seen it all, has been through it all, has faced all types of adversity. I think it was the last time these two teams played in the playoffs that Zach Collaros threw four interceptions, was it? And they still came back and won that game in the playoffs. They're that type of group that has seen everything and knows how to react to that sort of adversity.
It was five turnovers in the first half in that game. I believe it was three picks from Zach Collaros, one of which was on the receiver, two of which I think were on Zach. And then it was two fumbles as well, one from Nick Demski, one from Drew Olitarski. But regardless, JC, that is a perfect example, right? Different time of year. That was early December. That game was frigid. The weather forecast is pretty beautiful for Saturday, but it's a great point, right? This team played a hobbling Nathan Rourke in 2022. And in 2023, when BC came to town again, Vernon Adams Jr. tweaked his leg and Keon Hatcher and TJ Lee went out relatively early with torn Achilles tendon. So the Bombers have gotten breaks during these West Finals at home. Do they still deserve to win them? Absolutely. Not taking that away from them. But they've undeniably had certain advantages here and there work to their favor. Do they need some of those on Saturday? No, I think pound for pound, they are a better team than Saskatchewan, as evidenced by their two wins head-to-head this season, including one in the Labor Day Classic. Almost 34,000 fans in Ryderville for that one. That was a very impressive win from the Blue Bombers, especially with Zach Collaros not finishing the game. But I don't think that Winnipeg's margin for error is wide in this one. I do think that Saskatchewan is a very talented team. They're on the up and up. That defensive front is as good as any in the CFL. Their secondary behind it gobbles up the takeaways as a result, makes lots of plays. So I think that Zach Collaros has to be sharp. They've got to find a way to be better in the trenches. Winnipeg's offensive line started off the season quite poor. I thought was very good in the middle chunk of the season. And I think since then have been fine. They've got to find a way to get back to that attitude, that physicality they had in the middle third of the season. If they do that, I like their chances of going to a fifth straight Grey Cup. That being said, I'm not taking them against the spread. I'm taking Winnipeg straight up, Saskatchewan against the spread. And enjoy the games this weekend, fans. Again, should be a good one. And regardless of which two teams advance, I think that this will be a sensational Grey Cup in Vancouver. Stay tuned to 3downnation.com for all the latest on the CFL. We will have three reporters. That's right. Three reporters. No, four reporters. No. Oh, right. Five reporters on the ground during Grey Cup. We will be, I believe, the most well-represented outlet there, other than possibly TSN, who's the rights holder, so that kind of makes sense. We will have all the stories, all the scoops, all the latest, all the everything between JC Abbott, myself, Justin Dunk, Pablo Herrera-Vargara, who's joining later in the week, and Joel Gaston, who will be on the ground as well. So stay tuned. We'll have a great week. And until then, enjoy the games. We'll see you next time.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Movement has the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics. Be the good gifter this year. Shop 30 to 60% off now at movement.com and enjoy fast and free shipping. That's MVMT.com.